Welcome, everyone. My name is Joel Molina. I'm Cornell's Vice President for University Relations. I want to thank all of you for being with us today, both those of you physically here in the room in Ithaca, those of you joining online for this wonderful occasion. I want to especially thank you for the short notice with which we were able to reach out and bring you here. But we're very pleased now to be able to have with us on the far left, Bob Harrison, class of 1976. Bob is the chairman of the Cornell Board of Trustees and the proud parent of a member of the class of 2017. On my immediate left, Jan Rock Zubro, the chairman of the Cornell Board of Trustees Executive Committee, as well as the chair of the Presidential Search Committee. And in the center, I'm very pleased to welcome our president-elect, Elizabeth Garrett. Very shortly, I'll ask the three of our guests to provide some introductory remarks, after which we will open up the floor for questions, both from those physically here in Ithaca, as well as those online. I will alternate between Ithaca and online, and please, I'll ask that you introduce yourself, both your name and your affiliation, before asking your question. So with that, Bob, why don't I turn to you to kick things off?
Thank you, Joel. I am very proud to be here on campus today to acknowledge the tremendous efforts of the Presidential Search Committee, which has been working very hard since this past March. And I'm also thrilled to be here to be part of the welcoming committee for the 13th president of Cornell University, Beth Garrett. In particular, I want to express my deep gratitude to Jan Rock Zubro, the chair of the search committee, who, with a perfect combination of vision and discipline, led this committee to an extraordinary conclusion. I'd also like to point out to everyone here how difficult a job it is to find a president for this great institution. There are few universities in the world that are as complex and ambitious and far-reaching as Cornell University. And what that means is we set our sights very, very high in terms of the attributes and the experiences that we require of somebody capable enough to lead Cornell into the next 150 years. And I could not be more certain that we have found the perfect person in Beth Garrett. So welcome, Beth, to Cornell. And Jan, let me turn it over to you for some introductory remarks.
Thank you, Bob. So 6 months ago, the search committee defined an ambitious 6 to 9 months window for completing our search. And among a truly world-class group of candidates, there was one person who emerged as the clear winner, who possessed all of the core competencies that we set out to find. So today, I am thrilled to announce that the Board of Trustees has voted to approve Beth Garrett, Provost and Senior Vice President of the University of Southern California, to be Cornell's 13th president. Beth, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jan and Bob. It is a great pleasure to be here today. I'm honored by the confidence that the Board of Trustees has placed in me by naming me the 13th president of Cornell. I'm excited about working with this university to lead this superb institution into its next 150 years, working with its trustees, faculty, students, staff, and alumni to ensure that it continues in its long tradition of excellence and achieves even greater heights. There is so much to say about Cornell and this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Cornell is committed to academic excellence. The breadth of that excellence is unmatched anywhere in higher education. Faculty, staff, and students work throughout the schools, the departments, and the institutes every day doing research, scholarship, and creative work that advances innovation, improves lives throughout the world, and contributes to the search for truth. Cornell also combines a distinguished private liberal arts college with a formal commitment to public service through the land-grant status of the university. Its long and deep relationship to New York, most deeply expressed here in Ithaca, and throughout its involvement in the Cooperative Extension Services, has been extended to a growing presence in the greatest city on earth, New York City. And of course, in addition, Cornell is supported in a myriad way by its dedicated and enthusiastic 250,000 strong network of alumni throughout the world. Finally, Cornell has been fundamentally shaped by its founders' lasting vision of a university dedicated to inclusion, to egalitarianism, and public engagement. I find that vision compelling. It resonates with my own work and my life, which involves public service. This is a challenge as well as an opportunity, and I'm very fortunate to follow in the footsteps of David Skorton, whose significant and lasting achievements during his tenure as president will leave a lasting legacy at this university. Just as Cornell has been acknowledged as the first American university, I am confident that we are the American university that will help shape this century as an influential global presence in education. I look forward to the start of my term on July 1st, and I will embark on this great adventure with all Cornellians here, around the state, and throughout the world. Thank you.
We'd now like to open it up for questions. We'll start with a question from here in the room in Ithaca. Who would like to ask? Yes, please.
Hi, I'm Beth Sonia. I'm senior editor of Cornell Alumni Magazine. Congratulations. I'm just wondering if you could talk about what you see as the biggest challenges facing the university and how you might address them. Also, coming from USC, have they shown you what the winters are like?
Well, I was at the University of Chicago before I was in Los Angeles, so I have some knowledge of winter. You know, part of what I want to do over the next months is to listen to the various groups around Cornell, students, faculty, staff, alumni, and hear what they identify as the challenges and the opportunities facing this great institution. I think I can learn a lot from that. Certainly during the search process, we've talked a lot about the great opportunity, but also a challenge, of having two campuses with significant presence. The heart of the institution here in Ithaca, and a long-lasting but growing presence in New York City with Cornell Weill and Cornell Tech. And again, all of the other locations around the world where Cornell makes its influence shown. Of course, all of us in higher education deal with a myriad of issues, including the support for research in all of the disciplines, access and affordability, something that resonates strongly at Cornell, given our commitment to egalitarianism. But I really look forward to hearing from the community about those challenges and how we can work together.
Thank you. First question from online is from Richard Perez Pena with the New York Times. It's a question that I think I will answer. It is, what is Ms. Garrett's age? Rather than provide a number, what I will do is mention that she received her BA in history from the University of Oklahoma in 1985, and I assume Richard can make an educated guess from there.
I have no issues with my age. I'm 51 years old.
There we go. Another question from here in the room. Yes.
Congratulations, Garrett. Just one quick comment from you about the significance of being the first female president at this university.
I am very honored to be the first woman president of Cornell. Cornell's history is one of a commitment to egalitarianism, to diversity, to recognizing that people with different backgrounds and experiences bring great value to the search for truth and the process of discovery. I was also the first woman provost at the University of Southern California, which was a great honor for me. And I think about some of the great women who have come before me, who have laid a path that I can follow, including Cornell's own graduate, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I know was here talking with students and has always been a hero of mine.
Another question here in the room while we're waiting on others from online. Yes, Tyler.
Hi, my name is Tyler Leisha. I'm the managing editor of the Cornell Sun. During his term as president, President Skorton has put a very large focus on issues relating to student life, including issues regarding hazing and sexual assault. How do you plan on continuing to address the things that President Skorton has worked on in the past 8 years of his term?
Well, certainly we are very fortunate to have the great foundation that President Skorton has laid in so many areas, including student life. You mentioned some important areas of student safety. And I think one of the most important things any president of a university can do is to ensure an environment where students are safe. We cannot tolerate on our campuses sexual violence, sexual assault. We must protect the safety of our students. That's how we have an environment in which students can learn and grow and become the next generation of leaders. So I will want to work with the students, work with the Vice President for Student Affairs, and work with the entire community to ensure that all of us, students, faculty, and staff, are safe in our work and are free from intimidation, harassment, violence, and assault.
While we're waiting on other online questions, another question from here in the room. Yes.
Time Warner Cable News. Congratulations. I know that President Gordon was intending to stay throughout this entire school year. Will you be here to sort of get into the new role and tell me what you are hoping to learn from him, if anything?
President Gordon has a number of months left in his term, and he has much he wants to do, and I'm excited to watch that. So I won't be coming here permanently until July 1st. But my husband, who will also be joining the faculty, and I hope to visit several times, both this campus and other locations, including New York City, so that we can learn more about the university and about the community. I want to listen to what faculty, staff, and students share with me about their dreams and aspirations for Cornell. And I hope to hit the ground running on July 1st when I move to Ithaca as a permanent resident.
Other questions? Yes.
Could you please talk more about your scholarly background and how you feel that that might shape or inform your views as president and how you'll approach the role?
I'm happy to. I think any faculty, even those of us who go into administration, always think of ourselves as first and foremost faculty, both in terms of research and teaching. And that's why we got into this job, was that opportunity. My own research is informed a lot by my background. I clerked for a number of judges, including Justice Thurgood Marshall. And then I worked in the U.S. Senate, working with Senator David Boren from Oklahoma, where I served as his legislative director and his tax and budget counsel. When I entered academics after that experience, I found that what I had done as a lawyer in a legislative realm was something I wanted to write about and teach students about. So I was an unusual law professor in that I really focused more on what happens in legislatures and in administrative agencies than what happens in courts. Most of what happens in the law actually doesn't happen in a courtroom. It happens in administrative agencies that make enormous amounts of policy. It happens in the state and federal legislatures. So my work is about the structures of democratic institutions. I've studied the initiative process. I've studied congressional procedures that shape budget and tax decisions. I've studied campaign finance and lobbying. I think it does add to the skills and abilities I bring to this job. I'm fascinated by organizations and institutions. How do you make them work better for everybody involved? How do you make them work efficiently? How do you think about making decisions in a world where there are diversity of perspectives? You want to hear those views and perspectives, but ultimately come to a decision in a way that is respectful of viewpoints but reaches a decision. I've also had some experience in the public realm, and I think given the land-grant mission of this university and the reality of higher education generally, university presidents need to play a role in some of the discussions of policy and in thinking about the public commitment of this university, and that's something that I've both studied and played a role in earlier parts of my life.
Any other questions? Yes, Blaine.
Hi, I'm Blaine Friedlander of the Cornell Chronicle, and welcome to Ithaca and welcome to the Cornell campus. With your law background and with your clerking with Thurgood Marshall, Cornell has an original copy of the Gettysburg Address, the 13th Amendment, and the Emancipation Proclamation all together in our library. And I'd like you to comment on that and what could students learn here at Cornell about those things, given your law background?
Well, I did not know that. What a wonderful thing to have here and inspiring. And it really does make me think about Justice Marshall and his view of the Declaration of Independence as one of the most important founding documents of our country, which is where, of course, we had our first formal commitment to equality. But, of course, we did not achieve equality for some time after that, particularly for certain segments of our society, and we're still working to achieve equality of opportunity, and that's, of course, where education comes in, because that is the great place where people are allowed to learn what they need to have the opportunities that we wish them to have. I think that is fantastic. I hope to have a series of interactions with students around documents like that and historical experiences like you described, so we can think about what they mean in our own lives. One of my favorite moments with students at the University of Southern California is that we have an art sculpture that's dedicated to the First Amendment and in the particularly difficult time of the Hollywood 10. And so what I would do with students is we would talk about that monument and the words there and what it means in our own lives and how it helps us think about our constitutional values and our commitment to freedom of speech and organization, not just in the country, but in an academic community. And I would look forward to having similar kinds of discussions around those documents with students and with faculty. That's a tremendous thing to find out. Thank you.
We also have a collection of brains in formaldehyde. You probably don't know about either.
We have a question, again, from Richard at the New York Times. It's for the president-elect. Will you be continuing President Scorton's tradition of performing music?
I think we all hope that that is not a tradition I continue. I'm afraid that I am a great connoisseur and enjoyer of music, and I look forward to many such concerts and experiences on the Ithaca campus and in New York City, but I will not be participating to everyone's great relief.
Other questions? Yes, again here.
Could you share some of your outside interests and passions outside of professional life, hobbies, skills?
So my husband and I enjoy traveling quite a bit. We always look forward to traveling. Our last trip last summer was to Cambodia and Vietnam, which was a spectacular trip, cultures that we had not yet experienced, but also to see the great economic growth going on in those countries and thinking about how the United States and institutions like Cornell can play a role in that development. It is also the case, and I believe this is revealed in the press release, that I do quite a bit of needlepoint and cross-stitch. I was a competitive debater in high school, and if any of you debate, you know there's long periods of time in between debate rounds where you're waiting for results to come in. So what I learned to do was to use my time productively, and I now make tremendous numbers of pillows, shawls, baby gifts, etc. And I have to say, I love reading fiction, and on airplanes when I need to relax, I am a great connoisseur of a great mystery. I love reading mysteries.
Here's a question from Tina Sussman at the LA Times for the president-elect. I'm wondering if Ms. Garrett could speak about the challenge facing higher education in the face of the conversation about soaring student loan debts.
Yes, I think this is an issue all of us in higher education are thinking about. I think it's important, though, not to think about the issue of student debt as a monolithic issue. Higher education is a very diverse field. There are many different characteristics of an experience in higher education. So what I focus on is the experience at a great research university like USC, like Cornell University, and the experience of students who on our campuses finish their 4 years with a degree. It is the case that under those conditions, students who come to these great universities and who finish with a degree, their lives are vastly improved and made different by that experience. Their economic fortunes and future are more robust, and they have had the experience of a residential research university that will change their lives forever. And that is a very good investment. It is my view that what is important is for us to make sure that that is accessible and available to all students, regardless of their financial background, that we ensure that students from our institutions do not graduate with inordinate amounts of debt, but that they face a future where they can repay this very good investment and also flourish as professionals, leaders, and citizens.
Another question here in the room. Yes, in the back.
Hi, I have a question for Ms. Subro, actually. Obviously, we can see about Ms. Garrett's many talents and experience, but you must have had a ton of applicants that were qualified. Tell me what stood out.
Well, obviously, Beth has a track record of advancing USC in a major way. But the thing that really stood out is that the way she did that was by creating cross-college and interdisciplinary initiatives, big ones. And that really brought colleges and campuses together, and they used those initiatives to go out and recruit top faculty to the institution. And that is what advanced the institution. And we saw in that great power for bringing Cornell together, and importantly, our two campuses, our three campuses as well.
A question online from Bill Howard with the Cornell Alumni Magazine for the president-elect. Of the world's great universities, Cornell is perhaps most isolated. Cornell's past three presidents came to Ithaca with spouse faculty appointments. What are challenges in bringing in great faculty and of Cornell being remote?
I'm not sure I agree with the premise of that question. I think in today's world of technology, notions of distance and remoteness are different from the questions when, for example, I was in school or even 10 or 15 years ago. The wonder of digital technology now allows us to teach a class where in real time, students are sitting in that class from the United States, from China, and from Israel, talking together about the challenges of a global economy. So I think we need to be careful about overstating remoteness or distance. And I think what I would say instead is that Ithaca brings with it all of the things that the great university towns have brought in, throughout history to a research university like Cornell. It allows us the opportunity in this beautiful location, surrounded by the vibrant city of Ithaca that is important to the future of this university, to really focus on the life of the mind, to think about how what we're learning and discovering here at the university will shape the world. And in addition, Cornell has the advantage that it is not isolated in that it has the relationship with the cooperative extension, a relationship that permeates throughout this great state. It has a relationship with New York City, the most vital city in the world. It has a relationship with Washington, D.C., where this country's policy is made, a relationship with the Mideast in its Doha campus, a relationship around the world with its students and alums who live in the world and with our researchers who have connections. So if I may, I'll push back on the premise of the question and state that my view is that we are very connected. We're just connected in different ways, not necessarily location.
Tyler.
As Cornell continues to invest more in its campuses in New York City with the Tech campus, while Cornell and as other colleges begin to start moving more resources to New York, how do you view the balance between investment in resources in Ithaca and investment in resources in New York City and the other campuses globally?
So of course I still have a lot of learning to do, to talk to people, to learn more about decisions that have been made and are going to be made, and to listen to the community about those aspirations. But I would say as a preliminary matter that I believe one of Cornell's great signatures in this next 150 years is that it is a research university, a great university, with its heart in Ithaca, with its foundation in this tremendous town and with this long history of commitment to Ithaca and to this region, and with a growing presence, a presence that has been a long-standing one with Weill Cornell and is now expanding with Cornell Tech in this great city of New York City and with these connections throughout the world. So I think the way to think about it is one wants to invest in all of those activities in ways that lift the entire enterprise higher. And I think that's very doable. I think that's our challenge, to think about investing not as a sort of this versus that, but an investment that brings all aspects of Cornell to even greater heights of academic excellence and influence in society.
We have a question online from Melissa Korn with the Wall Street Journal. And this is either for Jan or Bob. Can the board talk a little more about the search process? As they said, it moved fairly quickly.
Sure. We appointed a search committee in March after President Skorton had informed me that he was planning to leave for the Smithsonian Institution. And we created a committee of 19 members, a very diverse committee. I was extremely focused on making sure that the people we appointed and then the board approved came from the student groups, faculty groups, alumni groups, trustees, and also from Weill Cornell as well as the Ithaca campus. So we had 19 members. We had two advisors, the two chairmen emeriti of the board, Pete Meinig and Harold Tanner. That group of 21 people initially reviewed about 200 names, either that were proposed by us of logical categories of great academic leaders, or that we received from alumni and others on campus. Jan and I did a listening tour for a couple of days here on campus and met with various groups, and that generated quite a few names for us to consider. And then through the course of the summer, as I mentioned, Jan ran a disciplined process. She basically killed all of our summer vacations. And We had an exhaustive review of a subset of that 200 in many presidential search committee meetings, then face-to-face meetings with individual candidates, and ultimately the selection of Beth. But I have to say that I have participated in the search for what led to President Scorton's election and now this one, and I could not be more impressed with the focus and discipline and caring that the members of the search committee demonstrated in looking for someone who can lead one of the great universities in the world, with nothing on the agenda except the goal of what's in the best interest of Cornell.
Another question from the room. Let's go back here.
So, as you may or may not be aware, there's sometimes a little bit of turbulence between the university and city leaders in the city with regards to things like taxes and how much the university contributes. How will you kind of make sure that that relationship stays as positive and smooth as possible?
I know that the relationship between the city of Ithaca and the university is a very important relationship, and I'm looking forward to meeting the leaders of Ithaca, to getting to know them, working with them as we think about the well-being and health of both of our institutions. Ithaca has long been acknowledged as one of the great towns in our country. I think part of that greatness is its relationship with Cornell, and I'm looking forward to working with the city leaders to ensure that both of our institutions thrive and that we continue to work collaboratively together.
We have a question online, again from Tina Sussman with the LA Times. What will Ms. Garrett miss most about Los Angeles, other than reading the LA Times, of course?
Well, I can still read that on the web. I will miss the ocean, but the good news is that we have the Finger Lakes, and I look forward to exploring nature here in Ithaca. I think it is just one of the most gorgeous landscapes that I have seen, and I look forward to switching bodies of water and switching hiking trails from the Santa Monica Mountains to the gorges around Ithaca.
We have time for one more question here and then one more online. Who would like to ask the final here in the room in Ithaca? Did you have another? Yes.
I was going to ask the town guy a question, but I did have another for the leaders of the search committee. When you were undergrads, I bet you never thought you'd be picking the next president of Cornell. I'm just wondering, could you talk about the sort of sense of responsibility? Did you get your friends and classmates trying to whisper in your ear? What was the process like for you personally as alumni?
It was a very humbling process. We reached out to a broad group of constituencies, and I learned so much, and I was so impressed by how much people care deeply about this institution, and also how consistent the input was. And I think that's because people really care, and they listen, and they learn about Cornell, and they know what's going on. And so I was, as I say, very humbled by the consistency of the input and the thoughtfulness of the input. As to whether as an undergrad I ever envisioned I would be in this role, no, I did not, but I have to tell you, it feels great. It feels great. I have felt like I have the next 150 years on my shoulder, and now I know we have a wonderful future ahead of us.
You know, I'll just add one thing. When I was an undergraduate, I was a student trustee, and the world then was a lot less democratic than it is today. I think the president of the university in those days was selected by the chairman of the board in those days, and I don't think there was a lot of thought given to including other groups in the process. What has happened over the years, and it's been literally over the past 50 years that this process has happened, but we have become a much, much more democratic and representative institution. This search committee had both of the student trustees on it, the one from the professional school, Annie, and the one from undergraduate, Ross. And it's the same feeling that I think the rest of the community groups, Alan Mittman representing the employees and the four faculty members representing the faculty, felt as if what they were trying to do was find someone not representative of their constituency, but representing the interests of the university as a whole. And the seriousness of purpose with which that group addressed it was really heartwarming.
And our last question is from Monica Sandreski, who is with the NPR affiliate WSKG. It's for the president-elect. Do you have plans for Cornell's relationship with the rest of upstate New York?
Well, again, that is an issue I want to delve more deeply into when I arrive as the president in July. But of course, it is extraordinarily important for us to have close and warm relationships with the entirety of the state. We are fortunate to have the support of the state for our contract schools and for our mission as a land-grant university. And I intend to continue those relationships, to listen to the input that I receive, and to play a role in the health and well-being of this great state.
Thank you, and let me thank all of you for your excellent questions. And as Jan mentioned earlier, additional information and background on the president-elect is available. It's now posted on the cornell.edu website. And let me thank you again for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.